Dear friends in Christ, chapter 18 this morning. The summer of 1963 was a very busy one on this campus. Volunteers from many congregations of the CLC were on the scene preparing this campus for the fifth school year of Emmanuel Lutheran College. The first 4 years, you know, were in Mankato, Minnesota. There were two major remodeling projects that were underway on the campus, the remodeling of the little barn and the remodeling of the big barn. And there were two pastors from South Dakota in charge, Pastor Paul G. Albrecht of Bowdell, South Dakota, and Pastor Christian Albrecht of Watertown, South Dakota. The volunteers were all gathered together to remodel these two barns. Now, if these two brothers were here today, what would make them the most happy? Well, I'm sure they would be happy to see the new academic center on this campus, because back in 1963 they had wanted to build a classroom building, but our church body could not afford it at that time. That's why you had the two remodeling projects. But they would be happy to know that their two projects, even though they're no longer on the campus today, were used for many years. The big barn, later known as Northwest Hall, as boys' dormitory, classroom building, administration center, and the little barn, used for many years as the SEM house. But what would make them even happier, I believe, would be the fact that some of their great-grandchildren are students on this campus today, along with many other descendants of the volunteers who worked on this property. But what I think would make the two brothers the happiest today would be the fact that it has been God's gift to us during these past 50 years that the doctrinal basis of this school has not changed from the beginning. For certainly that was why the volunteers gathered together on this campus in the summer of 1963 to establish and maintain a school where the Word of God would prevail, where the Word of God would hold sway, not only in the religion classes, but in the sociology classes and the science classes and the history classes and all the other classes that there are. They would be happy, very happy, to know that the Word of God still holds sway in every other activity on the campus, whether in the dormitories or in extracurricular activities. Because, you know, that's not been the case with many schools in this country that were founded on Christian principles. Anybody who knows American history knows that many of the schools that were begun with persons who were deeply concerned about the Word of God and that they wanted to establish these schools to maintain Christian standards throughout their history, anybody who knows American history knows that many of them have fallen by the wayside and have lost their principles that they began with, and they have become secular institutions and in some cases even have become anti-Christian in their teachings and practice. Three of the oldest schools in this country are Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. All of them founded as Christian schools on Christian principles. Certainly not the case with these schools today. So it is a very special blessing that at least during the first 50 years of this school, there has never been a teacher who has denied the inspiration of the Bible. There has never been a teacher who denied that God created the world in 6 days. There's never been a teacher who denied that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. There has never been a teacher who denied the fellowship principles that were so important in the founding of our church body. Certainly this is a blessing not to be taken for granted, but a blessing to be thankful for every day of our lives, a blessing that we need to keep on praying for and striving for. Now, when the school began here in 1963, there were 8 full-time teachers. Today we have 12 full-time teachers. None of the original 8 teachers is still teaching today, but Prof. Ron Rail was here in 1963, and he still has an office in the new academic center as the registrar. In the fall of 1963, the total enrollment was less than 100, but in 6 years it was up to 137, and of these, 47 were in the college department. We would certainly like to have 47 college students today. By the 1974-1975 school year, the total enrollment was 179, which I believe was the highest enrollment in ILC history. But the enrollment did not remain at that high level. In fact, by the 1982-83 school year, the high school enrollment was down to 74. But the teachers kept teaching, and soon the Lord gave us the gift of more students. For just as every child is a gift from God, so every student is a gift from God to be guided and molded by the Word of God. The enrollment began to climb again in the 1980s. By 1988, there were 105 in high school, 38 in college, and 7 in seminary. But then it went down again. By 1993, the total enrollment was down to 125, with only 12 beginning ninth graders. What was happening? Was the school going to die because of a lack of students? No, the very next year there were 30 ninth graders. And by the year 2000, there were 132 high school students, and the total enrollment was 176, close to the all-time high. So we pray that the Lord will continue to make this institution thrive, and that the Lord will continue to give us students, not for the glory of the school, but so that the Word of God may be taught to them and through them may be spread to many others, so that this generation will teach the next generation, and the next generation will continue to teach this to their children. Because we know this is the will of God. This is what is recorded in Psalm 78. He established a testimony in Jacob, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. Let us sing hymn 629, which is based on Psalm 78.
True.
Joshua.